Monday, Monday.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
How do you get out of this place?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all the feedback from the geeks. That would be you.
Me?
This is the show for March 3rd, 2008. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and this weird ethereal music means my partner is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm channeling something. Mulder. Mulder, come in.
No. Actually, I did hear a little bit of news about that on Slice of Sci-Fi, but...
Hey, I saw a trailer for it.
Another show, another topic.
I saw a trailer for it.
This is the companion podcast to Technorama with all of your email and voicemail comments. If you're new to Technorama, there is another major piece to this. So if none of this makes any sense, you might want to take your podcatching client or scroll a little farther down on the website, pick up one of the regular shows, have a listen. So you know what the context of some of these messages are, because some of them are just unclear to us, and we recorded them.
And you know what? It may not ever make sense to you, but that's okay.
Doesn't make sense to you, doesn't make sense to me. Yeah. Fast forward. That's what podcasting's all about, right? Hey, otherwise, pull up a chair and spend a few minutes with us and a few of our closest friends who wrote in, called the listener line, or sent us an audio clip like these fine people.
Oh, Chuck.
Oh, boy.
First, just had to call you and tell you, they're revealing all of the secrets of Roswell and the alien invasion and all of the movies. So it's obvious that what caused that was not sunspots on the East Coast. It was that little rubber ball dealy thing that got accidentally touched and whizzed around the...
Happy Fun Ball?
Black office there with Will Smith in the first and the Black movie.
Oh,
gosh. What's Bruce going to do with you?
Slap me up again.
Yeah. He told you.
I wish I knew what he told me.
I know. Little wheelie ball thing floating in the air and swinging around. What? That was Luke Skywalker with a lightsaber. Come on.
Oh, we were watching Sleeping Beauty. I'll get into this, but I had to make Julie laugh because they got to the end where the guy is fighting. It is amazing how much Shrek borrowed from this movie.
Oh, really?
There's a dragon.
Yeah, of course.
There's a sleeping girl in a castle. There's so many things. It was so funny putting Shrek lines into there and Mr. MST3King Sleeping Beauty. But when he takes out his sword and he starts fighting, I was going...
That's funny.
We were having a good time with that movie last night.
That's funny. I keep thinking that, you know, whenever I see Sleeping Beauty, I keep dead rod off the table.
Oh, no.
Hey, guys. Will, the computer guy here. Well, I just caught the voicemail where Bruce Barr was talking about recorders and clarinet.
Yes.
I am a clarinet player, and I have been since fourth grade. I'm 38 now. You do the math. And I was a credentialed music teacher for 6.5 years. So I guess Bruce is not the only music professional. I'm guessing there are others who would consider themselves professionals as well. I just wanted to set that record straight. Bye.
Set the record straight. Record as in vinyl LP?
Oh, he's a recording artist.
That
makes a lot of sense.
Anybody else out there have any music cred to their name?
Not me.
I can sort of read music.
Oh, I can play music all day long through iTunes.
GarageBand makes it real simple.
Yeah. Especially that virtual band thing that they got going on now. You know, the virtual band.
And I can play Guitar Hero. on easy.
What's that everybody says? I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket.
Hey guys, it's Mark in Memphis.
Mark
in
Memphis.
I just wanted to let you know, it was kind of cool, that place where the on the voicemail show where that thing dropped out. Where y'all are sitting there and one of you's talking in the left ear and one of you's talking in the right ear. That was pretty slick sounding. Y'all might want to consider that all the time. It's kind of the way the Beatles used to do their albums. They'd have the music on in one ear and them singing in the other.
Yeah.
Anyway. Have a Marvary, a Marvary day, a Marvary. Where'd that come from? Anyway. Binary low 3101.
Marvary. Hey, that's one of those new cloning fruits, you know, that they approved from the FDA.
Marvary. Sounds like, yeah, one of those drink mashups.
Yeah. We mixed some DNA from Marv with the blackberry and got up.
That's the town where Andy Griffith was shot, right?
Absolutely. Marvary? Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well, he did like that split screen thing we did.
You know, I got a lot of comments from that on the positive side. And it was just a last minute thing. That's why the show was delayed a little bit, because I was listening to it. And it's like, you know, we're in sync awfully good bit and we're not even talking to each other. So all I did, honestly, the only thing I did was I removed the dead air where neither of us were saying anything to kind of tighten it up. But the timing is still the same, which I was kind of blown away with.
Scary.
Yes. And then what's worse is we've been doing that all week through IM too.
Yeah. I would think something and he would type it. And I went, that was weird. I was,
you know,
just
what's weirder is my revelation that we've probably been doing this for the last 3 years without, you know, through our work day. I wonder.
Let's hope you're not having the same thoughts about intros and things as I am at 6 a.m. in the shower.
Maybe. Not in the shower.
Hey, baby.
Moving right along.
The truth be told, none of that was scripted. That was all accidental.
Skype dropped out,
and, you know, Craig always tells me, keep rolling, so it makes the editing easier. And then
it's a lot easier because when I'm trying to line up this track, so I can just take a big chunk and remove it. But I was listening to it, and I was like, you know, we're remarkably in sync, so I just tightened it up, and that's it. It was cool.
All right, next message.
All right.
Hey, guys, it's Bruce. Just stopping by the lovely Harry S., and that's without a P because he did not have a middle name. It's just the letter S. Truman Library here in Independence, Missouri. On my way home, kind of wending my way the long way around. Don't worry, it's not going to go too long. I caught the subtle message. counting with your fingers is how you would go through the binary kind of thing. I thought it was kind of interesting that, Chuck, you said that you start counting with your thumb, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or at least that's what I thought you said, and I find that that's a more European way of counting. I thought, in my mind, now maybe there'll be some feedback on this and people will suddenly, no, you're crazy, I don't do it that way. I thought most Americans started with the index finger when they counted, and the thumb would be the fifth if they were counting with their fingers. In Europe, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and in fact, you don't even have to hold up all the fingers. So if you want two items, you don't have to hold up both your thumb and your index finger. You can just hold up your index finger, and that means two. In fact, I can remember
Isn't that
my
bizarre?
First trip over to Europe when I was in college, and I can already hear the jokes now. So, yes, I flew on an airplane, not a pterodactyl. And, yes, it had jet engines, not prop engines. We didn't have to stop in Iceland.
Man, he's still learning jokes.
We were in Italy. They have the most wonderful ice cream in Italy. Actually, they have the most wonderful ice cream all over Europe. Because they have
Stay on topic.
But they have gelato in Italy that is just, oh, man,
Bruce,
it is really good.
Navigation
so
computer.
We were ordering ourselves some ice cream, and this person who I was with just could not get this whole idea of, you know, the thumb was one and the index finger was two. She kept on holding up her index finger but saying uno. And the girl behind the counter kept on saying, due? And my friend kept on saying, no, no, uno. But she was holding up the, you know, equivalent of two with her index finger. So I finally just held her hand so that she would not put it up and said, uno. And then the girl understood what she was wanting, and we got the ice cream. And there was about 20 more people who needed ice cream behind us. So does everybody count with their thumbs? Does everybody count with their index fingers? Or is there some mixture going on in the U.S. that I was not aware of? Hopefully that's short enough. Bye now.
Hey, it's funny that he brought that up. You know why?
Why?
Glad you asked. There was a video I watched on how people count money in other countries. One of them was showed the American way where we kind of thumb off a bill into the other, you know, move it from one hand to the other. Mm-hmm. And the other one was like, I can't remember which countries actually did it, but one of them would like fold down, have a stack of bills, would fold down part of it and use their index finger and flip them through. It was bizarre. There was probably about 10 ways people were counting the same stack of bills.
You got to wonder if that has anything to do with the texture of the money, because all money's not made out of the same stuff.
Yeah. Well, it may be. And yeah, they'd fold down a corner of it and kind of, and it looked like he was able to do it quickly. So I was like, okay, well, there's got to be another way to count money other than just going like we do in America. A lot of people will thumb it into another hand.
Put it in a machine.
I guess I kind of do that, don't I? Huh?
Put it in a machine.
Okay.
That's cheap.
That's one way to do it. That's one way to do it.
That's called taking the air out of your balloon.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've put money in the ATM to do a deposit before, and I'm always amazed, even the behind the counter at the bank machines, or at the banks rather, those machines, how accurate they are in counting money. Just seems like one would just go, you know, and throw off the whole bunch. It's just amazing to me how those has actually worked well.
I have so well. Never, ever done a deposit at an ATM.
Really? I've done it all the time.
What circumstance do you need to deposit at an ATM? You're walking around with what, $500 in cash in your pocket?
No. There's been a couple of times where I had to go like on a Friday night, or you know, Kim's like, oh, I need to make a deposit. I'll just run to the, you know, I'm going by the store or something. I'll swing in there and deposit a check, and it's automatically deposited. So why should I have to wait till bank hours?
It's automatic. Okay.
It is.
Now, wait,
cash.
You get a check and you go to the ATM?
Not immediately. If I have a couple, you know, if you've got a few couple checks.
Are you depositing a check or depositing cash?
You can do either.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it'll scan it. As a matter of fact, if you, I've put a check in there and I bank with Bank of America. I put it in. It scans the check, and on the receipt that it prints out, it's a copy of the check.
Huh.
Yeah, so it scans it in, and you know, it gets processed because they've got an image of it. You put cash in, and I get immediate credit on cash, which
any,
is pretty
any
much
size
the same.
Check, because you know, there's different. You know, my paycheck, well, when I used to get a paycheck, was different size than say something somebody would write me out of a checkbook.
Yeah, done that. I've been at work and got a, you know, like a reimbursement or something like that. Sign it, stick it in. You know, when I go to do the process, it'll scan it, and yeah, the slot is not just for. You know, it's a little big. You sit it in there and it kind of, yeah. You should try sometime. It works.
I will, because I usually wind up, you know, taking my lunch hour and going to get some cash out of my reimbursement checks.
Yeah, well, you know, the bank machine is not that far from where I'm at. I could walk a little farther and go to the bank, but, you know, just go to the bank machine, done, got a receipt, I'm good to go.
But you got to go to the right one so you're not charged. Do they charge a service fee when you deposit?
Not if you go to your own bank, no.
Oh, okay, but if you go to, you know, just
I don't
Bob's
know about the
fence repair and to ATM.
No, I'm not going. If I'm doing a deposit, I usually try to go to my own banks. I don't know what the fees work on that.
Okay,
if there are any, I don't know.
All right, interesting topic. Yeah, we'll move on because we're running short of time.
Technology, man, I'm surprised you hadn't tried it.
Didn't know. I guess that's what they call an automatic teller machine.
24-hour banking. Uh-huh.
Hey, did you also know? That was redundantly repetitive. That if you see the word trattoria or bistro in the name of an Italian restaurant, it costs more.
Yeah.
Really? See, I always thought a bistro was kind of like a restaurant light.
Yeah, I thought so too. Maybe, well, shows what we know.
And that's well, high that class, topic. Guys.
Take the wind out of that.
Hey, guys, it's Bruce. I know you're not supposed to talk on your phone while you're driving, but
right?
Does it count as driving when you're sitting totally still on the highway in traffic that you didn't see until it was too late to get off on any of the exits and you're stuck in the far left lane?
It's completely allowable.
I was going to ask who did the Elmo voice, but I listened a little farther, and it's pretty obvious who did.
And that is almost as frightening as Craig's amazingly effective Cylon voice with no effects machine. Bye.
Cylons and Elmo got into a fight.
Yeah, or my famous Bullwinkle.
It's not famous yet.
Hello there, Chuck.
Hi, it's Bruce again, and Bruce has some questions, and Bruce wants to know exactly where is New Britain, because, you know, Bruce used to think that he was good at geography. Given the date, Bruce thinks probably it may be somewhere in that area up there, 1700s, could that be as late as something being discovered in the Maritimes, which my good friend, the Incastinated One, was impressed that I even knew what the Maritimes were, but maybe it's a little late for that. Maybe somewhere over there by Australia. I don't know. Fill us in here, Chuck. Read a little bit more of the Wikipedia article so we don't sound so stupid. Man. And then I never realized wow. Saccharin was discovered. I always figured, I figured it was invented, not discovered. That was kind of interesting.
That's what she said.
And how do we have any
saccharin
discovered carbon-14?
All right, New Britain. Google Earth is your friend. But if you type in New Britain, you get New Britain, Connecticut. So combination of the Wikipedia article and Google Earth pointed out exactly where it is, because the images on Wikipedia aren't that great. Follow that chain by Papua New Guinea. It's right on like the eastern end of that. You'll hit it. It's at 148 to 152 east. It's kind of a long thing, and it says it's the 38th largest island in the world, and from 4 to 7 south, so it's just a titch below the equator.
Now, did he say saccharin in there?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Well, saccharin is... I'm sorry to change the subject on you so abruptly.
Isn't saccharin a natural thing? I don't know. I haven't looked at that article yet.
Saccharin is a derivative of sugar, so yeah, I would...
I think saccharin's a derivative of cancer.
Well, I'm just saying that it's actually sugar, so I would imagine they would discover it rather than invent it.
Hey, if it's not right, someone's going to call you out on it.
You know what? I know. And you know what? I'm going to check this on Wikipedia before the show goes out. I'm just kidding.
A debate has recently perked up around the issue of caffeine, more specifically, coffee. How could I not be interested? Although I'm a little slow off the mark, I'm bound to answer. So here's my answer. Coffee is important. It is not only important because it drives the extra energy that so many geeks survive on. Imagine the 11th hour or 23rd hour coding session without a bit of extra stimulation. Sure, it should have been the responsibility of the managers and other upper-level people to not overpromise and underplan, but the reality is the geeks get the short end of the stick, but perform, due to coffee. Now, I don't advocate most of the methods of caffeine, except for coffee's little brother tea, for the simple reason that there's this other stuff in there. Sugar, chemicals, ground alien organs, whatever. And it is pretty harsh. So, coffee. Now, is coffee not important enough to the general populace, you might say? Well, there's more. Coffee is responsible for the revolutions and integrations of knowledge. Coffee houses were places where people came together to discuss the news of the day, to debate philosophy, physics, mathematics, society. Without coffee, the 1600s and 1700s wouldn't have led to the Age of Enlightenment. Personally, I'm rather hoping the coffee house idea will return. Nonetheless, people meet for coffee and discuss what they need to discuss. So it's important. Coffee led to the capability of industrialization. The long, terrible hours that factory workers did were only tolerable due to the wonders of coffee. An analogy can be drawn to the modern day and the white-collar workers as well. Coffee also led to international trade and remains one of the most important products worldwide. Coffee plays important roles in literature, movies, culture, art, technology, productivity. To besmirch it is to slap in the face of art and progress. To deny its importance is to wish that we could return to the natural days of only water and beer. And while they have their appeals, they aren't nearly as important as coffee. I could go on and on, but there is another simple justification for coffee. It tastes good. Now, let me qualify that a bit. Coffee well made tastes good. Nothing will bring me to tears faster than a swampy brew. Now, some people crow and rant about the addictiveness of caffeine. This overblown argument is tired and worn out, like yesterday's coffee grounds. Sure, it can be addictive to some people, and to some people that can be a problem. But then again, last week, some people tried to claim that Harry Potter is addictive. Too much of a good thing, I suppose. Well, time to have a second cup and enjoy it. Maybe you should have one as well. Cheers. Mark the Uncaffeinated One.
Now,
wow.
Now that was all the stuff I was trying to say in the last show, but you kept interrupting me.
Yeah, it's my fault.
So did it. You so can't did it in calf
a sentence it. Together.
Right. Telling you, it made a lot of sense. And you know, I will say this. Speaking of caffeine, this last week,
yeah,
I cut back. I did not quit. There's no reason for me to quit. I don't think I need a reason to quit.
I challenged you, and you didn't rise to the occasion.
Well, let's put it this way.
Buck
I did
up.
Cut back. Buck up. For what? Why is everybody ganging up on me? But I will say, last week, every time I went to go get a cup of coffee or a soft drink, I was like, I kept thinking of you and everybody else that listens to the show. And I'm thinking, man, they're just, you know, it kept in my mind. You know, so that in itself was an incentive to cut back.
It ironic that it's caffeine is less, you're less likely to get Parkinson's disease, which it doesn't usually, it's set in. And one of the symptoms is tremors in the hands.
Mm-hmm.
How would you know if you had too much caffeine or Parkinson's at that point?
Well, caffeine's it would only last for a while. It wouldn't be like forever.
All right, real quick, couple of emails. We have Kevin regarding Base 10 and Base 2. He says, fingers were the first calculators and probably the reason we use Base 10. Probably. How about they are?
Yeah.
The need for footwear prevented Base 20. Lucky for us. If the notion of binary logic proceeded, or at least arrived within a closer proximity to the notion of counting numbers, what kind of effects would that have on our conception of math? Would we be more adept at handling the numbers 11 through 10, 23? You know, this got me thinking real quick, and I don't want to dwell on this too much, but we would have a numbering system a lot closer to computers if we only had 8 digits, you know, 4 on each hand. Think about it. We'd have built-in octal. Well, no. Yeah? No. Kind of.
Yeah, and we couldn't do a lot less because we wouldn't have opposable thumbs.
No, we could still have the thumb, but we wouldn't have a pinky.
Okay. All right. So good.
Like cartoons.
Yeah. That's the way, you know,
only have 3.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking, sitting here thinking about my cartoons this week, and I'm thinking, you know, I draw those guys with only 3 fingers.
Most of them do. Yeah. Most cartoonists do.
Yeah.
It's very rare. It's easier to draw, and it looks better.
So does that mean that subconsciously subscribing to your theory about the 4 fingers and on each hand?
Well, think about it. You could have hex on one hand.
I can have hex on one hand. I got the tool in my toolbox right over there. Hex screwdriver. Never mind.
All right.
I was lame.
Michelle writes in on caffeine. You guys are probably sick of this topic, but I figured I'd throw in my 2 cents. Well, not really.
Yes and no at the same time.
She writes in and says, human research seems to suggest that caffeine might shield the brain from subtle problems with forgetfulness, a possible early sign of Alzheimer's.
Okay, my wife would disagree. That was a benefit I was getting from caffeine.
A study of more than 600 men published in the August European Journal of Clinical Nutrition suggests that coffee drinkers may be protected from mild memory and thinking problems that come with old age. A 2002 study in the European Journal of Neurology found that people who consume more caffeine in the midlife appeared to be protected from developing Alzheimer's later on.
Wow, I'm set.
I'm not. Studies on caffeine, I probably ingested enough as a teenager and in my 20-somethings to last me a lifetime.
Yeah.
Studies on caffeine and Alzheimer's are just starting to roll in, but the literature on Parkinson's is well established. A study of more than 8,000 men in the Journal of American Medical Association by G. Webster Ross and colleagues found that those who drank the most coffee, more than 3 cups a day, were the least likely to get Parkinson's. Again, I question whether it was just tremoring hands or Parkinson's. How would you know the difference? It's like when you know when cottage cheese goes bad.
Well, I think Parkinson's is with you forever. Caffeine will wear off.
Not necessarily.
Well, you won't be able to hold the cup after a while, you know. Never mind, that's a bad joke.
Another large study published in 2003 in the Journal of Neurological Sciences found that tea and coffee drinkers were protected from Parkinson's.
Wow.
Wow. get in. You know, we could probably
that's a big revelation, right?
A whole side discussion on tea and its benefits as well.
But that's a pretty big revelation right there.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Wow.
The list of large human studies linking caffeine to reduced risk of Parkinson's keeps growing, says Caroline Tanner, director of clinical research from the Parkinson's Institute in Sunnyvale, California. Ross, a neurologist at the Honolulu Department of Veterans Affairs in Hawaii, maybe I'll have to stop by and say hi, yeah, says in most cases, drinking coffee and other caffeinated beverages can't hurt. But people with high blood pressure or a history of sensitivity to caffeine should first talk to their doctor.
True.
Bottom line, this is Michelle speaking again. Bottom line, too much of anything is bad for you. I'll stick with my 1 to 2 cups of organic coffee a day. I think it would be more beneficial health-wise to tell people to eat organic food than cut out the caffeine. Some of the crap they are allowed to put in the food should be criminal. I agree 100%.
Okay, with that, statement, I can definitely agree with. But thank you from Michelle for coming to my aid here.
She didn't rescue you from nothing.
Yeah, Parkinson's and some Alzheimer's.
And something about memory.
Yeah, I can't too quite late. Put my finger up. What was it?
You can't stop aging.
What are we doing here?
I don't know. You think as much as we forgot?
Yeah.
Too late. Well,
thank you, Michelle. That was very well thought out. And I think there's some... I'm still amazed by that large study they said, you know, the one that tea and coffee drinkers were protected from Parkinson's. That's... Wow. That's pretty big.
When NCAF said his younger brother T, all I could think of was T. Morris.
Younger brother T. Oh.
Hey, that brings us to the end of the voicemail show. If you we appreciate your support. If you like the show, there are many, 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 many ways to show your love. You can call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 206-222-2428. Put it in your speed dial. Call us today. Call us from the freeway when you're parked in a big parking lot like Bruce Barr was. Or you can email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. I'm sure if you're stuck in a traffic jam long enough, you can hook up your cell phone and use it as a modem on your laptop. Start typing out your email.
Okay, you're getting on a tangent there.
Great idea. Website, www.chuckchat.com. Forum, swag, links, audio promos, all that good stuff. And there's also the tip jar. You can do monthly micropayments, as so many people are doing, and it's really, really appreciated.
Yes, and it is. Very much so. Let me reiterate that. We appreciate it.
Because that goes right to the bottom line. It allows us to do many, many of these other things that we're working on, and help pays the bills, too. We're not getting paid by anybody at this point for doing Technorama. No. Got a couple things in the pipeline, but so far it's still coming out of our pockets, and we appreciate you.
We can't even afford your appreciation.
Or, if you haven't got any money, you can always do us a favor. Go over to iTunes, write us a review on the iTunes Music Store. Those are always fun to read. Add us as a favorite to Podcast Pickle, or vote for us on Podcast Alley, or do whatever they do on any one of the other many, many podcast directories. I want to thank the following people for donating their time and talent to keeping Technorama going. Mad Mar for all the great blog content he puts in the wiki blog every day at chuckchat.com/technorama. Ustream and Scott Reynolds for the live streams on Sunday night. Freeno.net for the chat room that they provide. Thank you very much. We have a great community that goes on there every Sunday night. If you happen to be around at 9:30 Eastern, join us there, irc.freeno.net, or go to chuckchat.com/webcam, and you'll see a little thing you can do without installing any software on your computer.
And it's good, clean fun.
Did I miss anything?
Know that we're awesome.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with all the great audio content over at farpointmedia.net. Lots of great shows over there. Wow, I can't believe some of the stuff that comes out of there. It's fun to listen to. Some of it's downright scary, but...
What?
It is! You listen to some of the shows, the writing is great. The stories... But, man, who thinks of this stuff? They must be warped.
Yeah.
If you're getting the show the old-fashioned way by clicking on the website, consider subscribing for free to have the show automatically delivered to you. Let us know if you need help with that. Till next time, tell a friend about Technorama, and Craig will give you the binary high five.
101.
Thank you. Good night.
Yeah. Later.
I bet my Wookiee.